The premier event for infection prevention and control is coming to San Antonio this June. APIC annual conference brings you the latest research, innovative products, and practical knowledge to help you prevent infection. From inspiring keynotes to thought-provoking panel discussions, APIC 24 curates an extraordinary platform for knowledge exchange. Meet IPs from around the world who face the same daily challenges as you. If you work in infection prevention and control, you don't want to miss this event. Learn more and register to join us in person or virtually at annual.apic.org.
You're listening to the 5-Second Rule, brought to you by APIC, the Association for Professionals in Infection Control and Epidemiology. Together with our nearly 16,000 members, we strive to create a safer world through the prevention of infection. Join us while we talk to infection preventionists and other experts to learn the truth about some common myths related to the risk of infection and to get tips to keep yourself and the people around you safe from infection.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's another episode of APIC's The 5-Second Rule. And today we're going to be focusing on those New Year's resolutions and how you can prevent the spread of all kinds of diseases and health-associated infections. So when I say the New Year, I mean, wherever you are in the world, in the country, whatever your religious or cultural traditions are, whether you follow the Julian calendar of January 1 being the new year, whether you're Persian and celebrate Nowruz, Chinese New Year, Rosh Hashanah, whatever it is, or if frankly, you just want to hit the reset button on some random Tuesday throughout the year, it doesn't matter. This is all about exactly that, hitting the reset button and making a determination to do more to stop the spread of infectious disease. And so we're going to talk about that today. And to help us out, we have none other than the 2021 APIC president, Anne-Marie Pettis. Anne-Marie, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let me tell everybody about you and all the great things you've done as an infection preventionist for the past 30 years. Anne-Marie, you are currently the Director of Infection Prevention for the University of Rochester Medicine in Rochester, New York, and you have also been the co-chair and chair of the Western New York Infection Control Organization and a member of the New York State Advisory Committee, and I know that you have over 30 years of experience in infection prevention and control, and you've even had your CIC since 1986, is that right?
Yeah, that is right. Certainly ages me, but I do want to mention that, yes, University of Rochester Medicine, but at Highland Hospital and very focused on ambulatory care at this point.
Thanks for that. So, by the way, folks, a lot more to be said about our esteemed guest, APIC President Anne-Marie Pettis. Check out the website and you can hear and see all the great things that she's done. So Anne-Marie, it's important because we're sort of still living through this global pandemic of COVID-19 caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Throughout all of our episodes here on the 5-Second Rule, we talk about all the things that the public and healthcare workers can do to stop the spread of healthcare-associated infectious disease. But we know that there's a lot that isn't being done, and the global pandemic has really shined a light on some of these issues. And so what we want to do today is share with the public and other healthcare workers what they can do. So I like to call it hitting the reset button. Sound like a plan?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so what are you seeing in New York, upstate New York? What are you hearing from the APIC members in terms of, you know, this pandemic hit us, and of course, it's a novel virus, but there are a lot of other healthcare-associated infectious diseases that are spreading throughout healthcare facilities. And what do you see as a challenge in terms of what's not being done and where we need to do more work?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the interesting things, having done this for so long, is for many years we really struggled to get one of the very important messages out there, which was infection prevention is everybody's responsibility. And I think the pandemic has definitely brought that message to bear, for sure. And I think what the challenge we've seen here, and certainly my colleagues all over the country have seen, is that because we've surged at different times, for instance, here in New York State, downstate New York City, for instance, was surging quite a bit before we did. And then we eventually joined them. And then in the summer, I think we all sort of, you know, took a collective breath, if you will, because things had slowed down. But unfortunately, then I think people got a little complacent. And so, you know, then you had to ramp back up, gear back up, which is what we're all doing now. And most of us throughout the country are experiencing this resurgence, which seems to be even more vigorous and devastating than it was the first time around. So with that has come really exhaustion. And, you know, you can call it different things. You know, we call it COVID amnesia. We talk about PPE fatigue, all these different things. And so it's just so hard to stay focused, to stay on the top of your game when people are exhausted, and we're starting to see a lot more healthcare workers infected with COVID this time around than we did before. And so that's, you know, resulting in all kinds of challenges, particularly just staffing when so many of our colleagues are out with COVID. And, you know, we're also starting to see flu. And fortunately, so far, we've not seen large numbers of people infected with flu, but we are seeing it. And so those are just some of the challenges I think we're all feeling. And I got such a kick out of the fact when you said, you know, the pandemic has really shone the light on infection prevention. That's what we've tried to do for so long. And it's a classic case of be careful what you pray for or hope for, because we got it now. And so there's good things that comes along with that re-emphasis, and then there's also challenges that come along with it. But nonetheless, people are just, you know, rising to the occasion and have been absolutely amazing. And I'm really talking about not just the healthcare workforce, but also, to your point, the public. And so it's truly been inspiring.
Yeah. Well, Amory, let me take us back a little bit. Obviously, we're also focused on COVID, and you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I like to use the term on the show, you know, are you living under a rock? I think anywhere on the planet, we know we're dealing with this incredibly challenging virus that spreads quite easily. But I want to take us back and talk about some fundamentals here. We've had different episodes here on the 5-second rule where we focus just on hand hygiene. We recently did an episode with Dr. Hilary Babcock and Kate Gase to talk about airborne transmission. So I want to take us back and really talk about what are some basic fundamental infection prevention and control practices that you really would love to see your colleagues across the healthcare continuum pay attention to. And again, folks, this is not coming from a place of we all want to do the right thing. We come to work and we do our best. What are some of the challenges that if you had to say, okay, it's New Year's or again, random Tuesday at some point during the year, what is it that you would like to tell your colleagues in healthcare, including, you know, your family physician, your dentist. What are some of those basic infection prevention strategies that are tried and true and that we're seeing are also super effective with things like influenza and even SARS-CoV-2? So real basic, what are some of those things that you'd like everyone to rededicate themselves to?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can never talk about infection prevention without talking about hand hygiene. And, you know, that's obviously the case now. But I think one of the things we forget about is technique. And, you know, it's great to kind of fly by the hand rub dispenser and sort of do a lick and a promise, if you will. But technique does matter. And so remembering that you really need to let the material dry on your hands for killing to actually take place, killing of the germs to take place. So I think, you know, that's something that we need to remind ourselves. I think people are much better about doing the frequency of hand hygiene. So I would love to just remind people about technique. I do think that's important. So hand hygiene, the idea of staying home if you're sick. And, you know, right now we're doing what they call chatbot, which means everybody, all the healthcare workers have to go into the computer each day and answer the questions, you know, have you traveled? Do you have a fever? So forth and so on. So that's great. But I will tell you that we have seen some exposures occur as a result of staff still coming into work or getting sick while they're on the job, but then not leaving while they're on the job. And we all understand why that is, because we feel terrible. We feel like we're abandoning our post. We're abandoning our colleagues. But it's things like that. It's working when you're symptomatic, that can represent a risk to everybody. One of the biggest things we're struggling with, and I think most of my colleagues are seeing, and that is that a lot of the transmission with our healthcare workforce is happening in the break rooms. And, you know, as the cold weather has hit much of the country, we've had to move indoors for eating lunch. And trying to find space for staff to do that has been a real challenge. And reminding them to stay 6 feet apart, because they don't have their mask on, obviously, if they're eating or drinking. And so that's one of the things that we've really focused on, and evaluating what the maximum occupancy in those areas should be has been a big initiative. And then, you know, posting a sign and reminding everybody that, you know, there shouldn't be any more than maybe two or three or whatever the number is, depending on the size of the room. So those are some basics. And then one thing that we learned from SARS-1, which of course I had the amazing opportunity to actually go to the Ground Zero Hospital, Scarborough Grace in Canada, in Toronto during SARS-1. And one of the lessons learned was the importance of appropriate donning, and in particular doffing. So putting on PPE, taking off PPE, because the experts did feel that that's where some of the transmission of the healthcare workers took place, was as they were in particular when they were taking off their PPE. Well, that's a lesson that we need to continually remind ourselves of, that that's the case with SARS-2 as well. And no matter what organism you're dealing with, if it requires PPE, then we need to remember to put it on correctly and also to take it off correctly. So those are some of the things that come to mind. Vaccinations, making sure that you're up to date, being willing to put your arm out to get COVID vaccine. Hopefully next week we're going to start seeing our first round of it, and hopefully many places.
So, Anne-Marie, there's quite a bit there. So let me take a step back, because I want to emphasize a few things and just clarify for our listeners. SARS-1, just to go back, is the severe acute respiratory syndrome with coronavirus one. And if our listeners recall, this was back in 2003 with outbreaks in, I believe, Korea was among the countries hard hit back then. It spread also to the Middle East as well as to Canada, and there were cases here. So the current COVID-19 pandemic, of course, is another coronavirus, and we call it SARS-CoV-2. And so I want to go back, though, because, of course, hand hygiene, you cannot get through an episode of the 5-second rule without hearing about hand hygiene. Incredibly important. And just a reminder that technique is everything. And as Anne-Marie has suggested, the need to really ensure that when you're utilizing hand sanitizer, that it dries before you're donning any gloves or touching any surfaces is so important if you're in the healthcare realm. And then Anne-Marie, you did talk a lot about certainly with COVID-19, influenza or certain other, you know, common cold, is to be mindful of, you know, the room that you're in, how many people are exchanging air, is critical, certainly now during a global pandemic. But I wanna also touch on, before we get into personal protective equipment or PPE, we talked about, you know, healthcare workers and frankly, all of us, right? We're sick, we get up in the morning and we have the sniffles, we're achy, but we feel this need to go to work, or this whole notion of presenteeism is a challenge. And so would you say it's important for employers, regardless of of course, we're in the pandemic, but we're not always going to be in a pandemic. So it was a problem before, it's a problem now. Would you agree that it's important for employers to maybe rethink their policies around sick leave? And more importantly, not just their policies, but let's face it, there's the policy and then there's the culture, right?
Yeah.
Because I think that's very important. Do you think that's something that our employers could rededicate and recommit to, maybe creating a culture and environment where people don't feel forced to go to work?
Well, you raised such an important point, Sylvia. And I know that even before the pandemic, there were many infectious disease, infection prevention experts that have advocated for exactly that, that staff not be penalized when they do have to call in sick. And so I know that has been a very important topic. So I do wonder, whether the pandemic will facilitate that argument with employers, because without protecting staff and not making them feel guilty and, you know, deleting their vacation bank or whatever, I do think it's always going to be an uphill battle. Presenteeism will unfortunately continue until we have policies that are in accordance with exactly what you described. So yeah, I think that's a really good point. I don't know where we'll land, but I like to hope that we will land in a much better place than where we've been previously.
Yeah. I mean, it's a challenge all around. So we're not pretending that that's an easy problem to solve, but we know it's a problem, something that we want to be mindful of. And of course, and to your other points, Anne-Marie, you know, we don't want people to get sick. So to the extent possible, you mentioned the notion of vaccines and the importance of everybody getting a vaccine for any of those vaccine preventable illnesses out there, like influenza, like measles. There are so many wonderful vaccines. And then now we're living in a time where we've got options even for COVID-19. And so the idea is not to get sick in the first place to the extent possible. So again, we're asking you to not go to work when you're sick. We're asking your employers to really be mindful of the culture or the pressures that aren't written in a policy. Hand hygiene. And then you started talking about healthcare workers really understanding how to don, put on and doff, take off their personal protective equipment. Anne-Marie, you were mentioning during the SARS-CoV-1 outbreak, there were lessons learned. What are some common mistakes that you see as an infection preventionist in a large health system? What are some of the common mistakes you see among healthcare workers in terms of, I don't know, glove use, mask use, gown, anything that you would love to see colleagues recommit to getting better at?
Yeah, I mean, as we're out and about doing rounds and so forth, you'll sometimes see staff with their eye protection up on their head instead of over their eyes, you know. So that can drive you a little crazy. But other things, you often see masks below the nose, and that's a problem. Another thing you might sometimes see you don't see it so much during the pandemic, but prior to the pandemic, one of the things that always drove me crazy was seeing people wear masks around their neck. During the pandemic, of course, we're not seeing that so much because people are wearing the masks from the time they walk into the building. Even out in the ramp garage, you know, we're having to wear it and so forth. But I do see a lot of times it's slipping below the nose. I worry about when you go back into having to reuse masks, which that's what we've just started to have to do again. And many places around the country are back into reuse. Some haven't been able to stop reuse of things like masks. So when that happens, I worry about how people handle their masks in between use. You'll see masks hanging around all the time. And, one of the things we've recommended, particularly if you're talking about reuse of N95 masks, is that they should be, when not in use, they should be in a paper bag, labeled carefully with their name. And then when they get picked up after they've been used for a particular period of time, and that depends on your facility's protocol, then it goes for the reprocessing. And then just being very careful about when you get that back, where are you storing it? Is it in your locker? So I think things like that. I also sometimes see face shields just being like tossed around and you're not sure whether they've been sanitized or not. So we've tried hard to have like an area designated for dirty shields and then an area designated as the area for clean shields. But then you'll see them all over the place. So those are some of the things that we're constantly auditing and trying to, in a real-time basis, remind everybody at this point.
Yeah, I mean, those are some challenges that we're facing with COVID-19. But we saw that before, too, in terms of the need for APIC members, all the infection preventionists out there, educating colleagues on the proper use of PPE, personal protective equipment. How do you not only put it on and take it off, but dispose of it or not reuse it when that's inappropriate? And again, those N95 respirators, there are extended use guidelines. And by the way, folks, there's a lot there, to go to cdc.gov or check out the APIC.org COVID-19 webpage for more specifics on how to manage all of that. So there's so much to recommit to, Anne-Marie. And I don't even know if you know this, because this is kind of almost hot off the press at APIC, but were you aware that there is a wonderful new program that's really designed for the public, and it's the Prevent the Spread consumer campaign? Did you know about that, Anne-Marie?
Yeah, I did, and it sounds like a very timely and exciting initiative.
Well, you're going to hear more about it because it's just underway and getting started, but essentially what it is, it's really to challenge the public out there to take measures to prevent the transmission of not just COVID-19, but really all of those nasty bugs, viruses, and fungi that float around, and how the public can support those prevention efforts. And so what it is you're going to take a pledge, and by doing literally you're signing a paper, and you're going to get a biweekly newsletter. You'll see all kinds of cool messages and information via social media. There'll be opportunity for folks to post information on their own social media so they can really spread the word. And it really is asking the public to take a closer look at behaviors and make sure that, you know, they're doing all the right things to prevent the spread. Everything from wearing a mask to hand hygiene, washing your hands, making sure that you are getting the vaccines that are appropriate for you. All of those things will be part of the Prevent the Spread campaign. And by the way, folks, to get more information on that, you'll want to go to infectionpreventionandyou.org. I'll say that one more time, infectionpreventionandyou.org to prevent the spread pledge. So that's kind of cool.
And Sylvia, that is so fantastic, because one of the things that we're experiencing during the pandemic is that much of the transmission to healthcare workers, most of it really is happening out in the community. And so the more that the community can participate, it works both ways. It protects the healthcare workers and vice versa. So, and to your point, we won't be in a pandemic forever. Thank you, Lord. But so this will be important even, you know, other than COVID-19.
Oh, absolutely. There's plenty of other critters out there. And, you know, we haven't been talking as much about it, but we have things like influenza, the common cold. We talk about measles. There are all kinds of bacteria, fungi, and viruses. And yes, folks, if you're not sure what those are, go back to some of our earlier episodes on the 5-second rule, where we actually break all of that down for you. So Anne-Marie, oh my gosh, we've talked about so much. We talked about just, you know, wanting people to hit the reset button to say, okay, starting from today, whatever New Year's you celebrate or whatever random Tuesday you want to do this, you are going to recommit to behaviors that help mitigate the spread of disease. And you're going to check out infectionpreventionandyou.org to take the pledge to stop the spread. And Anne-Marie, you had mentioned a while back some other efforts with the Society of Healthcare Epidemiology of America. They have an initiative as well, correct?
Yeah, they launched it, I think, last March, if I'm not mistaken, because I think it coincided right about when the pandemic was hitting, which was very timely. And it's called Prevention CHKC, and that's a mouthful, but it stands for, Course in Healthcare Associated Infection Knowledge and Control. So that is free. And if you just go to the SHEA, S-H-E-A website, you can access that. And there are many different modules on there. And it's really designed very similarly to the CDC course that's just come out as well. It's designed really for frontline staff. And it's also designed with folks from environmental services, dietary, nursing, physicians, pretty much across the board. We tried to make it applicable. And so, yeah, I think it's a timely and useful place to go.
Yeah, so there's really no excuse out there, folks. Whether you are someone who works in any sort of healthcare setting, doctor's office, dental office, acute care hospital, long-term care, wherever you are and whatever you do within those facilities, there is a lot of great information to help you with your New Year's resolution to recommit to all the best practices and best behaviors to stop the spread of not just COVID-19, but all those nasty critters out there. Anne-Marie, we also want to talk about antimicrobial stewardship, don't we?
I think that's a really important point, Sylvia. So yeah, you know, we know that, again, before the pandemic, there was a lot of emphasis on the importance of antibiotic stewardship. And the reason being is because of the danger of resistant organisms and, you know, sometimes called multi-drug resistant organisms, MDROs, you'll hear it referred as or to as. But the idea of being a steward of antibiotics is just so important. There are very few new antibiotics being produced, if any. And there's many times when we're seeing germs develop resistance to the antibiotics that we do have. And what feeds into that resistance is that we know that probably between 30 to 50% of the time that antibiotics are prescribed, they're actually unnecessary. And so that can lead to resistance. The organisms get smarter, if you will, than the antibiotic. And so they're able to survive despite the antibiotic. So what that leads to is an increased risk of hospitalization as well as death. And so that's why it's so very important. So, you know, a couple of things to remember is to use the shortest duration of antibiotics, if indeed they truly are necessary, and to not use them with things like colds or flu, which are often caused by viruses, which means that the antibiotics, you know, that work against bacteria are not going to be effective anyways. And every time somebody gets a cough, you know, they want antibiotics and they really probably don't need them because it's probably being caused by a virus. Sore throats, unless it's caused by strep, they really should not be prescribed antibiotics. And with children, a lot of times earaches. Parents often, because the child is in such distress, they really want antibiotics to be given. And unfortunately, it's, you know, they don't always realize that there are negative effects, not only just the resistance of organisms or germs developing, but there are other negative effects, not so much with children, but things with adults like C. difficile, Clostridium difficile, that can result after being placed on antibiotics. So those are all times when we really, when I say we, it's providers or folks that are mid-levels that like nurse practitioners that are prescribing these antibiotics. It's important to remind the public that they need to complete a course of antibiotics because that too can lead to resistance if you stop in the middle because, oh, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. So I guess I really don't need to finish this prescription, but you really should finish the prescription. The other thing I think that's gaining a lot of attention and it's excellent, and that is the nurse's role in antibiotic stewardship. And so I think this is something that we need to continue to educate nurses about is their important role that they can play in influencing whether antibiotics are used and influencing how patients are educated regarding the need for antibiotics, the appropriate taking of those antibiotics. So I think supporting and influencing is a role that key role that nurses can play. And the pandemic probably has not done us any favors when it comes to antibiotic resistance. And the jury's out as to whether we've really seen a huge increase in antibiotic use as a result of the pandemic. But certainly that's a theoretic risk. And we have seen some studies already come out that we've seen like an increase in a germ called Acinetobacter that's resistant to the antibiotics that you would typically treat it for. So we are seeing some case reports of isolated clusters that of antibiotic resistant organisms that are occurring. So again, this is something we need to watch very carefully as we move through the pandemic. And I think just reminding the public about the importance of appropriate use of antibiotics is key.
Well, thank you, Anne-Marie. And that is important for all you nurses out there, all you physicians out there is to, again, reset and take a look at your prescribing habits. And if you're out there going to the doctor, don't ask for an antibiotic just because you're not feeling well. Really listen to your provider. And oh, by the way, we have an episode about all of that with Mark Oliver Wright. So again, you've got the Shea Prevention CHKC. Check that out. CDC.gov has a wonderful new program called Project First Line. And again, that's small, short learning modules that help individuals understand the basics of infection prevention and control and what you need to do. And of course, Anne-Marie, all the great information, all the great fact sheets, as well as educational offerings, webinars at APIC.org.
Absolutely. We have amazing resources for the public and for healthcare workers. You're right.
Yeah. So even if you're not working in a health setting, no matter where you are, and I think that's the other interesting thing that this pandemic has indicated, and that is no matter where you work, people are talking about, oh my gosh, what can I do to wipe down surfaces? What can I do to make sure that we have good ventilation and I'm washing my hands and all that great stuff. So Anne-Marie, this has been wonderful talking with you about how we can just, again, hit the reset button. I keep saying that, but I mean, I don't know what the term to use, right? Like, let's just get back to square one and make sure we're doing all the right things.
Yeah, it's like there's nothing really basic about the basics. You've got to understand them and practice them.
Well, I can't thank you enough for being with us. We know you're very busy, APIC president, University of Rochester, Medical Highland Hospital. You're everywhere. So the fact that you were able to join us today, share your wisdom and your expertise, we are grateful. And want to thank everybody for tuning in for another episode. And don't forget to get all this great information at www.apic.org.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Thanks for listening to the 5 Second Rule, produced by the Association for Professionals in Infection Control and Epidemiology staff, including Sylvia Covedo and the APIC Communications Committee, in partnership with Human Factor. Audio tech is Blake Alphen.